And now, if you are able, please stand for the reading of the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, verses 1 through 11. This is the word of the Lord. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats, left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little way from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deeper water and let down the nets for a catch." Well, Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Grant us understanding and application. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I got to tell you, the phone continues to ring at my house, and there continues to be nobody on the other end. Or it'll ring, and it's a robot call, or, you know, and I've said this before. That phone at home just drives me crazy. We live in a day and age where everybody that wants to talk to me is calling me on my cell phone. But there is a phone ringing. There is a phone ringing. It's a spiritual phone, and Jesus is calling you. Jesus has called me. Jesus is also calling you to follow him. Luke chapter 10, verse 2, Jesus said, he told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out more workers into his harvest field." You know, last week's the message was all about having a purpose in life. We are ambassadors for Christ, and God has prepared good works for us to do. We're not supposed to wander around aimlessly, right? We have a purpose in life. We belong to God. And so God's calling is on our lives. And Jesus is calling us today to follow him, just like he called the disciples. And when Jesus called Simon and James and John to follow him, it says in verse 11, what did they leave behind? Everything. They left everything and followed Jesus. They left everything. Left everything. On the count of three, say that with me, okay? Left everything. One, two, three. Left everything. Left everything. Their whole life. All that that meant. That's pretty radical, right? That's a bold move there. It's not like they took the afternoon off, but they left everything to follow Jesus. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus had power over nature, power over disease, over infirmities, even over death. Jesus, God with us, the Son of the living God, God Almighty. Jesus, why did he need help? Why did he need followers? Why did he call the disciples? That's an easy question. And let me answer it with another question. Who makes sheep, the shepherd or the sheep? The sheep. Shepherd watches over them, but sheep beget sheep.
That's why we don't look to the pastor to bring in new people. Oh, I may attract people because of, you know, the odd way I look or the, you know, funny jokes I tell every now and then, but it's up to you to keep them. You are the ones who make them want to stay to become sheep of this pasture. Sheep beget sheep. You are the ones who go out and bring other sheep in. We had a couple this morning introduce me to an old friend of theirs that they haven't seen for a long time, and they brought them to church. And when I was talking to her after church, I asked her where she lived. She said, "I live in Sheridan Terrace." I said, "Where do you go to church?" She says, "I don't." She goes, "Evidently, I'm going to start coming here." Sheep beget sheep. And that's why Jesus was looking for these 12 disciples to create more shepherds in order to gather more sheep. Sheep who would then beget more sheep, who would beget more sheep, who would beget more sheep, in order to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus sent out 72 sheep. He sent 72 out in order to get more sheep. Can you read what that says on there? My arms aren't any longer. Jesus doesn't work alone. What is this? Mouse pad. It's a mouse pad. It's where a mouse hangs out at. It's his pad. Okay. But this mouse pad in particular, it also says on here, Methodist Theological School in Ohio. That's where I got my Master's of Divinity at, out in Ohio. So this mouse pad came from there, and I've kept it around. Such a great message. Jesus doesn't work alone. Just like the pastor doesn't work alone. Just like the choir director doesn't work alone. So on and so forth. It is all about team ministry. And so Jesus called the 12 disciples, and Jesus continues to call us today to follow him. Sheep beget sheep. And so he called his disciples, and they left what? Everything. They left everything. See, as ambassadors of Christ, that's supposed to be our main focus in life. That's what Jesus is calling us to concentrate on. And we have to leave everything in order to follow Jesus. We cannot afford to be distracted by anything else. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money and all the things that money represents. You can't serve both. And that's why when Jesus calls us, we have to leave everything behind us so that our loyalties are not divided, so that we are not distracted. What is one of the biggest distractions today? Well, the internet, but I'd go a little bit further. Yes, right there. Becky has it. Things are big, but this thing here, it's cell phone. Wow. Everywhere you go, people walking down the street, people driving down their cars, they got that cell phone out. Distracted. Well, Jesus is saying he wants us to leave everything. Does that mean you're not going home? Does that mean you're not getting in your car? No. It means that, like we told the kids, that Jesus is the number one priority in your life. That you will rearrange your schedule. That you will sacrifice your time, your talents, your gifts. That you will consider Jesus the gospel message, the ministry of Jesus Christ. You will consider that more important in your life than anything or anyone else. Forget those other favorites. There's only one favorite in your life now, and that's Jesus Christ. because there is nothing more important in this whole world than salvation. Your salvation, the salvation of everybody else. Because everybody lives in their own end times, and people are dying all around us, left and right. They're dying more and more at younger ages from suicide, from overdoses, from crime and violence and wars. They need to hear the gospel message. They need to have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And it is up to you and I to do that. And Jesus is calling us to get involved. Old illustration. During World War II, there was a small town in France that was bombed. The buildings in that, so many of them were destroyed. After the war was over, they began rebuilding. In a particular church courtyard, there used to be a statue of Christ with his arms stretched out, his hands open. It too had been destroyed. Well, the soldiers were tasked with helping the villagers reconstruct. And a young soldier was sent into that courtyard, went to the priest. He said, "I'm here to help you. What do you want me to do?" And the priest said, "I want you to gather together all the pieces of this missing statue and put them over here. We've got a sculptor coming in who's going to reconstruct the statue. It means so much to this village." And so the young soldier worked diligently, gathering all the pieces he could find. And he put them all together, and the sculptor came in, and the sculptor put together the statue again with his expertise. You could barely tell that it was destroyed at one time. But when he got it all finished, the hands were missing. The arms were there, but there were no hands. And so the soldier and everybody, they looked and looked and they scoured around for the hands, but they couldn't find them. And the priest said, "Wait a minute, I've got an idea." He said, "It'll be okay." And the priest made a plaque and he put it at the foot of the statue. And the plaque simply said, "You are the hands of Christ." Because that's what God is saying to us today. You are the hands of Christ. We are given different gifts and we are to serve God in different ways, all of us. But make no mistake about it, my brothers and sisters, God is calling you. The phone is ringing. Time is growing short. What is it that God wants you to do? During the singing of the last hymn, the altar rail is open. God loves you, and so do I. Let's stand.